Chapter 7, A Mouse in Love. And what was our own favorite member of the mouse community doing while the sound of Mouse Council drum echoed through the walls of the castle? Reader, I must report that Furlow had not seen the worst of it. Despero sat with the princess and the king and listened to song after song. At one point, gently, oh so gently, the pea picked up the mouse in her hand. She cupped him in her palm and scratched his oversized ears. "You have lovely ears," the pea said to him. "They are like small pieces of velvet." Despero thought that he might faint with the pleasure of someone referring to his ears as small and lovely. He laid his tail against the pea's wrist to steady himself, and he felt the princess's pulse, the pounding of her heart, and his own heart immediately took up the rhythm of hers. "Papa," the pea said when the music was over, "I am going to keep this mouse. We are going to be great friends." The king looked at Despero, cupped in his daughter's hands. He narrowed his eyes. "A mouse," he muttered. "A rodent." "What?" said the pea. "Put it down," the king commanded. "No," said the pea. "Who was a person not at all used to being told what to do? I mean, why should I?"
"Because I told you to."
"But why?" protested the pea.
"Because it's a mouse."
"I know, I'm the one who told you he was a mouse."
"I wasn't thinking," said the king.
"Thinking of what?"
"Your mother, the queen."
"My mother," said the pea sadly.
"Mice are rodents," said the king. He adjusted his crown. "They are related to rats. You know how we feel about rats. You know of our own dark history with rats." The pea shuddered.
"But Papa," she said,
"he is not a rat. He is a mouse. There's a difference."
"Royalty," the king said, "has many responsibilities, and one of them is not becoming involved personally with even the distant relatives of one's enemies."
"Put him down, P."
The princess put Despero down. "Good girl," said the king. And then he looked at Despero. "Seat," he said. "Or scat," he said. Despero, however, did not scat. He sat and sated and stared at the princess. The king stamped his foot. "Scat," he shouted.
"Papa," said the princess, "please don't be mean to him." And she began to weep.
Despero, seeing her tears, broke the last of the great ancient rules of mice.
He spoke to a human.
"Please," said Despero, "don't cry." And he held out his handkerchief to the princess. The pea sniffed and leaned down close to him.
"Do not speak to her," thundered the king.
Despero dropped his handkerchief. He backed away from the king. "Rodents do not speak to princesses. We will not have this becoming a topsy-turvy, wrong-headed world. There are rules. Scat. Get lost before my common sense returns and I have you killed." The king stamped his foot again. Despero found it alarming to have such a big foot brought down with so much force and anger so close to his own small head. He ran toward the hole in the wall. But he turned before he entered it. He turned and shouted to the princess, "My name is Despero."
"Despero?"
she said. "I honor you," shouted Despero. "I honor you" was what the knight said to the fair maiden in the story that Despero read every day in the book in the library.
Despero had muttered the phrase often to himself, but he had never before this evening had occasion to use it when speaking to someone else. "Get out of here," shouted the king, stamping his foot harder, then harder still, so it seemed as if the whole castle, the very world, were shaking. "Rodents know nothing of honor." Despero ran into the hole from where he looked out at the princess. She had picked up his handkerchief, and she was looking at him, right directly into his soul. "Despero," she said. He saw his name on her lips. "I honor you," whispered Despero. "I honor you." He put his paw over his heart. He bowed so low that his whiskers touched the floor. He was, alas, a mouse deeply in love. Chapter 8. To the Rats. The Mouse Council, 13 honored mice, and one most very honored head mouse, heeded the call of Lester's drum and gathered in a small secret hole off King Philip's throne room. The 14 mice sat around a piece of wood balanced on spools of thread and listened in horror while Despero's father related the story of what Furlow had seen. "At the foot of the king," said Lester, "her finger right on top of his head," said Lester. "He was looking up at her, and it was not in fear." The Mouse Council members listened with their mouths open. They listened with their whiskers drooping and their ears flat against their heads. They listened in dismay and outrage and fear. When Lester finished, there was a silence dismal and deep. "Something," intoned the most very honored head mouse, "is wrong with your son. He is not well. This goes beyond his fevers, beyond his large ears and his lack of growth. He is deeply disturbed. His behavior endangers us all. Humans cannot be trusted. We know this to be an indisputable fact. A mouse who consorts with humans, a mouse who would sit right at the foot of a man, a mouse who would allow a human to touch him. And here, the entire Mouse Council indulged in a collective shiver of disgust. Cannot be trusted. This is the way of the world. Our world. Fellow mice, it is my most fervent hope that Despero has not spoken to these humans. But obviously, we can assume nothing. And this is a time to act, not wonder." Lester nodded his head in agreement, and the 12 other members of the Mouse Council nodded their heads too. "We have no choice," said the head mouse. "He must go to the dungeon." He pounded his fisted paw on the table. "He must go to the rats. Immediately. Members of the council, I will now ask you to vote. Those in favor of Despero being sent to the dungeon, say aye." There was a chorus of sad ayes. "Those opposed, say nay." Silence reigned in the room. The only noise came from Lester. He was crying. And 13 mice, ashamed for Lester, looked away. Reader, can you imagine your own father not voting against your being sent to a dungeon full of rats? Can you imagine him not saying one word in your defense?
Despero's father wept, and the most very honored head mouse bent his paw against the table and said, "Despero Tilling will appear before the mouse community. He will hear his sins. He will be given a chance to deny them. If he does not deny them, he will be allowed to renounce them, so he may go to the dungeon with a pure heart. Despero Tilling is hereby called to sit with the Mouse Council." At least Lester had the decency to weep at his act of perfidy. Reader, do you know what perfidy means? I have a feeling you do, based on the little scene that has just unfolded here. But you should look up the word in your dictionary, just to be sure. Chapter 9, The Right Question. The Mouse Council sent Furlow to collect Despero, and Furlow found his brother in the library, standing on top of the great open book, his tail wrapped tightly around his feet, his small body shivering. Despero was reading the story out loud to himself. He was reading from the beginning so that he could get to the end where the reader was assured that the knight and the fair maiden lived together happily ever after. Despero wanted to read those words, "happily ever after." He needed to say them aloud. He needed some assurance that this feeling he had for the Princess P, this love, would come to a good end. And so he was reading the story as if it were a spell, and the words of it, spoken aloud, could make the magic happen. "See here," said Furlow out loud to himself. He looked at his brother and then looked away. "This is just the kind of thing I'm talking about. This is exactly the kind of thing. What's he doing here, for cripe's sake? He's not eating the paper. He's talking to the paper. It's wrong. Wrong. Wrong." "Hey," he said to Despero. Despero kept reading. "Hey," shouted Furlow. "Despero, the Mouse Council wants you." "Pardon?" said Despero. He looked up from the book. "The Mouse Council has called you to sit with them." "Me?" said Despero. "You." "I'm busy right now," said Despero, and he bent his head again to the open book. Furlow sighed. "Geez," he said. "Cripes! Nothing makes sense to this guy. Nothing. I was right to turn him in. He's sick." Furlow crawled up the chair leg and then hopped onto the book. He sat next to Despero. He tapped him on the head once. Twice. "Hey," he said. "The Mouse Council isn't asking. They're telling. They're commanding. You have to come with me. Right now." Despero turned to Furlow. "Do you know what love is?" he said.
"Huh?"
"Love." Furlow shook his head.
"You're asking the wrong question," he said.
"The question you should be asking is why the Mouse Council wants to see you." "There is somebody who loves me," said Despero, "and I love her, and that is the only thing that matters to me."
"Somebody who loves you? Somebody who you love? What difference does that make?"
"What matters is that you're in a lot of trouble with the Mouse Council."
"Her name," said Despero, "is P."
"What?"
"The person who loves me. Her name is P." Cripes, said Furlough. You're missing the whole point of everything. You're missing the point of being a mouse. You're missing the point of being called to sit with the Mouse Council. You've got to come with me. It's the law. You've been called.
Despero sighed.
He reached out and touched the words, Fair Maiden, in the book. He traced them with one paw, and then he put his paw to his mouth.
Cripes, said Furlough. You're making a fool of yourself. Let's go.
I honor you, whispered Despero. I honor you.
And then, reader, he followed Furlough over the book and down the chair leg and across the library floor to the waiting Mouse Council. He allowed his brother to lead him to his fate.